Welcome to the Variado Insider, a podcast covering some of the latest trends and things to know in cybersecurity. This podcast is sponsored by Variado, which is an award-winning employee monitoring and insider threat detection software provider. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, check out Variado.com. I'm Dr. Christine Zwakor, your host for today's segment. And today we're covering the topic of leveling up from employee monitoring to operational efficiency. So of course, employees are the heartbeat of an organization. And like any major organ, it's important to prioritize the health, safety, and efficient operation of your people, right? And so now remote working has made it, you know, challenging to oversee employee activities. And since day-to-day employee activity links to productivity and in turn operational efficiency, the measure and oversight of employee performance is vital, right, to the health of an organization. Now, before we jump into this more, I'd like to welcome Anthony Lauderdale, who is our special guest on today's podcast. Anthony is an established cybersecurity professional who has an extensive background building and leading cybersecurity teams in the intelligence community, in the startup industry, and large organizations as well, such as the FBI, Motorola, United Airlines, and now Zoom. Anthony holds a master's degree in international studies and is a triple bachelor's degree, so triple threat, in economics, international studies, and political science. Anthony is also a certified information systems security professional. And lastly, and probably one of my favorite things, Anthony is also very passionate about developing the next generation of professionals through mentoring in critical areas, areas like networking, resume building, and so on. So tons of valuable insight here at the virtual table with us today. Very excited to have you, Anthony. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Excited to discuss insider threats and employee monitoring.
Awesome. So why don't you kick us off with a little bit about your background?
Yeah, awesome. So, as you said in my introduction, I do have a non-traditional background. I didn't go to school even with the intent of being in cybersecurity. I really wanted to be a diplomat. So that's why I triple majored and also studied Arabic. My goal was to really be, like I said, an ambassador. So I came to Chicago, studied at DePaul, and only being here for 2 years. And then my goal was to be somewhere in the Middle East, doing trade policy and things of that nature. As they say, life happens. So when I was finishing up my degree at DePaul, the economy really tanked. So this is like the 2008 timeframe. And I really just job hopped, you know, like everyone else was doing. And I ended up moving back home to Nashville. I was actually a director of a daycare, which surprises people when I kind of tell them that. And I had already applied to the job at the FBI, but you know, getting the top secret clearance takes, depending, you know, anywhere from, you know, on a quick side, it's 6 months, but it can be years, kind of just depending on, you know, your work history and background and how many countries you've traveled to, et cetera. So had that job. And was really kind of praying for the job of the FBI to come through. It did. And then my start at the FBI was a lot of the traditional stuff, right? So your drug type stuff, your healthcare fraud, your white collar crime, and you know, I transitioned from there into cybersecurity. And I just kind of put my head down, and I got my technical skill sets really from SANS, just studying. And getting those certifications. So in 3 years, I got 8 certifications. From there, navigated to the private sector. So my first job was Motorola Solutions. Quickly got to the head of threat intelligence within a year. Pivoted to United, where I was a director. And now I'm at Zoom, where I'm the head of detection and response. So that's a quick just summary of really the last 10 years of my career.
Yeah, nice. So much in so little time. So definitely an impressive you know, just resume of experience and accomplishments. Now, digging into the topic a bit more, so employee monitoring technology isn't new, right? However, it's evolving a lot, especially as employers work to ensure that potential insider threats are being monitored and expectations are being met, especially in this remote era. So how have you seen the use and value of employee monitoring technology evolve over the last few years?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's really evolved a lot. When you think about it, right, cybersecurity as a field really didn't even exist like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So historically, these programs were really built on relationships, and they really sat more in HR compliance and things of that nature. So, you know, essentially, if you see something, say something, right? And that would trigger an investigation depending on who or what was involved, right? Like if it's like, you know, insider training and things of that nature, you may get law enforcement involved, or it may be something that kind of stays in internal. But as technology hasn't evolved and as now this whole thing called cybersecurity exists, and you really see this, you know, within any Fortune 500 company, now we're really moving to UEBA, right? To where you can really drill down into a user's behavior, right? This is the first time they've accessed this file. If someone traditionally works, you know, Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, and now we have this weird anomalous activity where 2 weekends in a row, they come in on the weekend, right? Like that's something that an insider threat team may kind of look into, because that's a red flag. And historically, that type of stuff has been really hard to track because, again, we weren't really monitoring logs and things of that nature. It was more of if you see something, say something. So that's really the evolution that I've seen, is that now we really have UEBA, we have AID, and we also have cybersecurity teams who are staffed to kind of, you know, look for this anomalous behavior and act in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that same note, so we're starting to see organizations see these great opportunities to, you know, slice and dice employee monitoring data that is already being collected, right, and analyze that in ways that can have a positive impact on operational efficiency, drive better business results, and so on. So from your perspective, what synergies or lack thereof do you see between employee monitoring for things like insider threat versus operational efficiency?
Yeah, great question. It really depends on where the organization is, right? So say it's an organization that's already mature. You know, when you take something like insider threat, you kind of, you know, tack that on. You're really just, you know, telling them first and foremost, look, you know, insider threat or whatever you want to call it, some people say mitigation because threat is like a scary word. It's really, you know, we're here to help. And it's really kind of explaining to them like the use cases, the best practices, and that we're really looking for malicious and more importantly, non-malicious actors, right? I mean, there's a lot of people who come to work and they're just trying to get their job done. And through trying to get their job done, they may do something that comes across as an insider threat, right? So the classic example I usually use is, you know, Google Drive, OneDrive, what have you. You know, you want to share it to 30 people, like, you're like, well, I just moved this quick. So what most people do is they'll just say, well, share all, right? But the reason why that's not malicious is the intent is good. But if someone were to take that file and share it externally, we don't have control over that anymore. So, you know, that's really when I think through, like, you know, the mature organization, it's really just about aligning with HR, with compliance, with the internal stakeholders and saying, hey, you know, we're here to help. Some people go as far as calling it more of like a wellness program, to where it isn't even like an insider threat per se. It's just like, it's, and then wording also matters. So you'll see initially when these programs get stood up, you'll see words like detect, deter, deny, right? Are those really the words you want to be using with your employees, or educate, inform, right? Because if you're right. So those like little things that I've kind of seen, if the program is a bit on the immature side, then obviously there's a bit more work to do because you're kind of rapidly building with HR, with compliance and things of that nature. And then when you kind of just think through the overall efficiency, so we kind of hit it early with logging, right? So at the end of the day, you know, logs can be used in a variety of different ways. So insider threat is one. But there's other ways in which you can use those where they kind of get better efficiency with, you know, data analytics and things of that nature. So yeah, it really just depends on where you are in your journey. Obviously, everybody wants to get to the point where you're a bit more mature, but you know, if you're in a startup environment where you didn't have an insider threat program or HR compliance, then usually everyone's kind of hit the ground running at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said about the branding piece and replacing things like, you know, threat, you know, detection with sort of wellness programs. I think that's so powerful. Now I'm curious, do you have any examples that you've experienced or maybe heard of through case studies where companies have successfully been able to elevate from that employee monitoring mindset to operational efficiency? And what did that look like, if so?
Yeah, so I do, unfortunately, the way that these things work is typically if you worked them, you can't obviously talk about them. So there's some that, you know, within media that I can kind of share. So I guess to start with a historically way that it's kind of been done. So you look at, I want to say it was about probably 15 years ago or so now, the classic Coke, Pepsi, insider theft, trading, whatever you want to kind of call it. Trade secrets, sorry. There was a Coke employee who was trying to sell, you know, the latest product that they were making to Pepsi. And what actually kind of happened in this case is the Pepsi employee notified Coke. And then the two Coke employees actually got arrested. So that's the more traditional things that we've seen. And again, that's what I kind of begin with, though, right? It's the education, the awareness, the fact that employee, everyone knows it's wrong. Right. Like that's an obvious thing of, hey, like I'll sell this to you for $1.5 million. But this is where the education, awareness, and forming kind of comes into play, because that employee was educated on insider threats and really knew the next steps to take to inform, you know, Coke and law enforcement on kind of what to do. More recently, what we've seen is so Tesla, I want to say this is earlier this year or last year. There was an individual who approached a Tesla employee in a bar and essentially said, I'll give you $500,000 if you plant ransomware like on your internal system. So you do see some of that as well, where people will get approached, you know, either close to their company or, you know, people do monitor social media and kind of know who you are. And know you're kind of be going to a conference or something like that, will actually approach you there. And then on the non-malicious side, this one was about 10 years ago. So, you know, there was a iPhone 5 prototype. So there was an individual who worked for Apple, went to a bar, left that phone there. And the reason why that's non-malicious is, again, he didn't have any malicious intent. He wasn't going to meet like a competitor or anything like that. He was just out and about testing the phone, forgot about it, left it at the bar. But again, yeah, it's just a variety of ways where, like, even if you don't have that malicious intent, you still can be a, you know, an insider. Because say, you know, a competitor were to get that phone, now they do have that prototype for what Apple is producing, and then they can theoretically make a better product than Apple can because of that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Which does not help with business in general or efficiency by any means. So as we wrap things up, one of the last questions, what best practices would you recommend for gathering and leveraging actionable employee monitoring data to increase operational efficiency? And then also, if there are any other final thoughts you want to add, feel free to share as well.
Yeah, great question. Relationships. Where I've seen not only insider threat, but quite frankly, any program that I've kind of built fail is people want to operate in silos. So starting my career at the FBI, something that was really drilled into me is September 11th occurred because FBI, CIA, NSA weren't talking. So one of the things that I do with any program I build is relationships. So with insider threat, I hit on it earlier, but like HR, legal, compliance, these are really the people who need to be key stakeholders, right? So you think about if an employee gets put on a PIP, right? In my view, that's something that I need to know like right away, because no one starts, you know, off their career as an insider. They usually over time, you know, kind of harden, or, you know, with the FBI, like there's, you know, there's an SF-86 that everyone fills out, right? Where it kind of digs into your personal life and things like that. So you know, in law enforcement, if you were to get like a DUI or something like that, that's something that's actually reportable. Whereas in private sector, you don't really have those type of mechanisms to kind of report that type of activity. So for me, it's really about those relationships, because usually when people come to insider threat, it's the last resort, right? It's, hey, we've tried all these actions. We know that this person has XYZ going on, whether another employee kind of came to them and said, hey, this person's harassing me, or hey, this person isn't showing up for work, or what have you. But if we get brought in as a last resort, as opposed to a first, there's not really too much we can do. The issue though is people don't really understand like what insider threat or mitigation or risk is. And because of that, if you don't have those relationships built out, then people typically don't really come to you. My personal philosophy is build out those relationships, and then quite frankly, have those teams come to you early and often, and then let me tell you no, is what I always say. Like, come to me, let me tell you, nope, that isn't anything to worry about, as opposed to you saying, well, Anthony, is he going to do anything about this? So
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good points. Any final thoughts or last statement you want to add as we close out?
Yeah, for sure. So thanks for having me. I think it's really the big thing. As far as last remarks, I think that insider threat and quite frankly, cybersecurity is definitely here to stay. I think that as organizations grow and mature, it really does lead to operational efficiencies. And it really sets you up for success. So thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining as well. And hey, that concludes the Variado Insider Podcast for this week. Again, this podcast is brought to you by Variado, an award-winning cybersecurity company whose solutions are anchored around four core areas of cybersecurity protection, including employee monitoring and web filtering, insider threat detection, employee investigations, and ransomware support. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, check out variado.com. Thank you all for tuning in. And again, a special thank you to Anthony for sharing your perspective. I'm Dr. Christine Zwalkor, the CEO of Cyber Pop-Up, and it has been our pleasure to share these insights with you. So until next time, stay safe and secure, insiders.